what each of us can do to fight the FAA over through-the-fence access. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. Today we're going to have part two of a conversation with Brent Blue of ThroughTheFence.org. Brent's group is fighting the FAA's new aggressive posture against through-the-fence agreements at airports receiving federal funding. And yesterday, if you missed that conversation, you can find it in our archives dated February 3rd. We talked at length about what set up this confrontation with the general aviation community and some of the inconsistencies in the FAA's arguments. Brent, thanks for taking the time to come back today and finish this conversation.
Thank you very much, Paul, for having me.
Let's talk specifically now about the economic impact on airports and residents of this sudden tough stand against through-the-fence agreements. And let me start by observing that, contrary to what we might have expected based on the FAA's position, both residents off-airport lose value in their property, and airports and the municipalities that support them or operate them lose tax revenues when through-the-fence agreements are disallowed.
That's correct. What happens is the value of the property next to the airport goes down if they can't have access to the runway. And the FAA's argument about property being more valuable being next to an airport is sort of like saying a person whose house is near a bus stop is more valuable. It's just basically a silly argument. The other thing that I think is extremely important is that by having people own property next to an airport who have through-the-fence agreements, they not only support the airport, but they buy gas, they do maintenance, they provide security by being there to observe what goes on at that airport when other people might not be there. And the other thing about the FAA's argument that really makes no sense is if noise is a problem, which is what the FAA keeps saying, even though they have no documentation of any issues, if noise is the problem and they force the airport administrators to stop through-the-fence agreements, the only people who will want that property would be non-aviation-related people. And those are the people who will complain about noise.
Well, and let's look at the property value issue. If you decide to sell your hangar home that's adjacent to an airport and has a through-the-fence agreement, it's going to be worth $300,000, let's say, to Joe Q. Public. It's going to be worth $450,000 to somebody who wants to use it as a hangar home.
That's correct. I actually have a neighbor who's trying to sell his home now, and one of the problems he has is because of the FAA's insistence, when he sells, he cannot transfer his through-the-fence agreement that still has 17 years on the contract to the new owner. So that dramatically reduces the value of his property. It really is an illegal taking of his property.
Well, that's an interesting Fourth Amendment issue, but let's go on now to talk about some of the specific airports discussed on your website where this has become an issue. You mentioned already Driggs, Idaho, and that's the one where you were personally involved that got you started in this. What are some of the other really kind of rough spots where this has worn through the fabric, so to speak?
Well, let me first say that there are about 650 airports in the United States that have taxiway access, but the far majority of those are airports that do not receive federal funding, so they're not involved. We have found about 90 airports that receive federal funding that have through-the-fence agreements. And to give you an example, almost all the airports in Oregon that have through-the-fence agreements are fighting this tooth and nail, including the state of Oregon and the Aeronautics Board of the state of Oregon. But the Christmas Valley Airport is a classic airport. The only thing it has are homes with through-the-fence agreements. There are no facilities on the airport whatsoever, and the FAA wanted to prevent through-the-fence access from those residential homes. It made no sense, no sense at all. There are problems in Sacramento at Sacramento Executive Airport. There's problems in Nevada County and Orcas Island and Plymouth, Massachusetts, up in Roundup, Montana and Sandpoint, Idaho. It's just they go on and on. we've only listed the places on our website that we have emails about, our legal documents, our FAA responses. But even the airport where Hal Shivers and Phil Boyers live down in Claremont County in Cincinnati is under attack for the same reason.
Well, now, let's talk about where you are. You've got obviously lots of outrage among general aviation individuals and groups. You've got official responses to the FAA from both EAA and AOPA. Who is left that likes this thing, and why is it still an issue?
Well, we can't find anyone who likes it. I mean, we really can't. And in fact, in speaking with senators and representatives, we find support on both sides of the aisle here. It's because it's really a nonpartisan issue. We are going to be introducing an amendment to the FAA appropriations bill that they still don't have a permanent appropriation. And that amendment should be introduced either this month or next month. Now, once we have that introduced, we will notify all the people on our mailing list, plus we'll put out press releases, to have pilots contact their various representatives to support the amendment. And that may solve the issue, because since we can't find anybody who's against through-the-fence agreements, it's going to be a hard bill for the FAA to say they don't want passed.
You know, it's not often that you come across something you can ask a lawmaker to get behind that has nobody against it except the internal bureaucracy.
That's correct.
I mean, that seems like a slam dunk. When we come back from the break, let's talk about what individuals can do if they haven't already become involved in this issue to make sure it has the proper outcome. My guest is Brent Blue of ThroughTheFence.org. We'll be back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR22 GTS, Cirrus's premium luxury ride that has come to define Cirrus aircraft as one of the world's elite. Every dream option, from supple leather seats to an exhilarating 310 horsepower performance and speed, come standard, giving new meaning to the phrase fully loaded. When flying the SR22 GTS, getting there is truly more than half the fun. To learn more, call 888-750-9000 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. Paul Plack here with Brent Blue of ThroughTheFence.org, talking about the FAA's curious, aggressive stance against through-the-fence agreements at airports receiving FAA funding. Brent, we've talked a lot about this issue. Let's bring it down to the basics of what someone who wants to become involved can do about it. Now, first of all, how does someone get on your mailing list to find out when these legislative issues are coming to a head?
The best thing to do is to sign up for the email updates by registering on our forums page. Just go to throughthefence.org and go to forums, and it's free. You just sign up, and that's just how we can maintain the email list. You don't have to post anything on a forum or anything like that. Just go ahead and register, and you will receive all the updates. And, of course, we will also be putting updates on the website as they come in. We're being very aggressive about this. And we have lots and lots of pilots all over the country, from guys flying Piper Cubs to guys flying Citation jets. Everyone is chomping at the bit to contact their representatives, and we have held them off because we want them to be able to call and say support this specific amendment, and that's what's coming up, and we're really hoping to have that introduced, as I said, later this month or early in March.
Okay, that's something we need to hold off on until we get the starting gun, but there is some kind of comment period underway through the end of March. What is that specifically about?
That comment period has to do with the new regulation, Airport Compliance Manual 5190.6B. It replaces 6A. Now, that comment period is basically commenting for future changes in that manual. Now, the interesting thing is that the last time that manual was revised was 20 years ago. So I'm not sure how much those comments will do at this point, but at least the FAA will know there's a lot of interest in this area, and they'll know that they don't have any support.
Okay, now, what about people who live in towns? Let's say you're a general aviation pilot, and you live in a municipality which has an airport, which maybe hasn't even run into this yet, but is likely to. How do you make the case to your town council or your city council that this is a short-term thinking situation to not fight this? Because obviously, losing FAA funding would be a big setback to a lot of municipal airports. However, the long-term effects of losing the property value around the airport might be bigger.
That's correct. And, of course, the dirty little secret that the FAA doesn't want you to know is they don't have a mechanism to take money back. In other words, like the airport in Driggs, Driggs has accepted $7 million, and they have what is called a airport compliance plan, ACP, airport compliance plan. And that plan is a plan which says you have to eliminate through the fence agreements, you have to fix this fence, you have to do this, you have to do that. The interesting thing is the FAA doesn't have a way to look at that airport compliance manual, and if it's violated or not performed, they don't have a way to take the money back. So that's an interesting issue just in and of itself. But the most important thing is that local governments and local airport authorities have to stand up to the FAA on this. The FAA is required to give money out, and they are going to have to do it. And we're hoping that by the time that the next cycle of building starts this spring, that we will have an amendment onto their appropriations bill, which will make this a moot point.
Well, an interesting issue to watch. We wish you all the best. Thanks again for taking it on, and do keep in touch.
Okay. Thank you very much for having us, Paul.
My guest has been Brent Blue of ThroughTheFence.org, and you've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.